Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Paul von Voord, who is stepping in for the author of Contemporary Spirituality for an Evolving World, who had to reschedule. So Paul agreed to come on at last minute, and I'm really glad he did, because Paul has a unique background in the study of cosmology as well as international relationships and the study of government. And I think that we've seen some things that have occurred in the last month or so that really require us to take a look at our government and how we govern ourselves or don't govern ourselves. And I also wanted to bring Paul back to catch up on his work with the continuation of the Reincarnation Project. He is the author of The Soul Genome, Science and Reincarnation. And in the archives of Temple of Health, there's an interview with him on that. And I also wanted to mention that Paul has wrote a book a while ago called God's Genes and Consciousness that really was the first book out for the ancient alien information and really changed my worldview very quickly. And since then, I've had the opportunity to interview others on the this topic. And Paul's latest book on this topic is We've Never Been Alone, A History of Extraterrestrial Intervention. So anyway, welcome, Paul. Thanks for joining us at the last minute.
Oh, I'm delighted.
So would you like to give the audience a little bit about your background? I touched on a few things, but I'm sure you could fill them in on some of the adventures you've had to date.
Yeah, well, I could start, you know, saying that I grew up as a little boy in the backwoods of northwest Florida, and that experience has had impact on what we're talking about today. But
right.
After getting out of the woods in northwest Florida, I spent time for a while getting an education and through a master's in clinical psychology and education at Florida State University. And then I went into the Navy. This was the time, I'll give away my age here, because at that time, John Kennedy was calling for people to go serve their country. So I enrolled in the Navy Officer Candidate School program and spent a little over 3 years in active duty in the Navy. And then I spent about 15 years after being appointed as a U.S. Foreign Service officer by John or President Johnson at the time. And so that gave me a much bigger perspective on the world than I had grown up in. And I, as a result of that, left the government service for some of the reasons that we've experienced in the last couple of weeks that you mentioned.
Right.
Susan. But I started a nonprofit organization to work with citizens in all kinds of countries, and we were involved in Soviet-American citizen diplomacy in the 1980s and Chinese exchange program, just a lot of programs. Of actually, we covered about 100 countries at one point with little projects that way. So that, in fact, my first book was a critique of the arthritis in the bureaucracy of Washington. I maybe should try to get that book out again.
Right. There might be some interest in it.
Given what's been going on here. But anyhow, after all of that sort of public and government experience and real exposure to all the cultures that we have around the world, I started doing the research and writing the books that that were just mentioned. My first book of that sort was looking at the universe as a conscious, living, self-evolving organism itself. And I think that is becoming more and more self-evident in science today as we see and we can talk about this a little bit later in terms of what's happening in physics and neurosciences to suggest that we are part of a information-based, consciousness-based universe, and we on planet Earth are right in the center of it. So anyhow, that's a little bit of the background, and I try to, you know, take every set of issues that we have to face and put them in the context of this bigger picture. And we can do that in terms of reincarnation. We can do it in terms of the failures of social institutions, in terms of political, economic philosophies. The question is, how did we humans, in a big universal pool of consciousness that our universe seems to be, how did we get to the point on this planet that we, in the last couple of hundred years, have even become more contentious, more violent, more detached from any kind of gyroscope that ought to keep a species like humans on a track of, you know, making progress, developing their skills and their potential, and so on. And we're far from achieving our potential at this point, and I think we need to be thinking about the fundamental questions that are relevant to the cultural conflicts, the terrorism, and terrorism is not just throwing bombs. I mean, terrorism is throwing bombs into the government in terms of policies or lack of policies and so on. So anyhow, that's the mess we're in, and I think we need to think about our history and see what we can learn from it.
One of the things that I've been reading about lately that I think may apply here is the fact that we are an experiment on Earth, and we're probably part of 37 planets that that basically were part of a free will experiment as a result of the Luciferian Rebellion. I don't know if you've read that information, but it would seem that the 37 planets that are under a free will doctrine, where we have less direct knowledge, direct guidance from our higher aspects, we're more likely to fall into the extremes of terrorism and poverty and suffering and disease, mainly because we were cut off from higher source information. And there's some evidence that the ascension, the energy coming in from the galactic center, may be bringing us out of this lower vibration so that we can actually begin to self-govern, whereas before, self-government was very, very difficult because of, many of the things you wrote about, the special interest groups and the different hierarchies of power that would interfere with self-governance. So I think we now have an opportunity to really look at self-governance and what we need to do that, coming out of this very low, dense vibration.
I'm not familiar with exactly all of the terms that you used, but I think that there are parallel worldviews, I think, that are consistent with the terminology that you used. I look at the trajectory of human history to be one of both self-will and also interactions with more advanced beings. As you know, I talked about that in We've Never Been Alone book, and So it seems to me that we have a combination here, that we as human beings, as conscious beings, we have the capacity and the inherent nature of making choices for ourselves and as individuals and as groups. But I think at the same time, we've had parallel experiences with advanced beings, and we go back to the, you know, the theory of ancient astronauts and all of those stories that we are getting more and more into in the research that many people are doing, looking into our historical documents, the artifacts, the stories that have been told. We call them myths, but they're not really myths. They are maybe distortions, but they are more likely to be historical narratives that have kept these memories of humans having involvement with other beings, and not just in other dimensions, but also physically on this planet. But I think we can talk a long time about that history and how we may have been influenced by, and in fact maybe physically intermingled with the DNA of other beings. But I think at this point in time, we certainly have enough knowledge and skill and perspectives on the nature of our universe that we can make the constructive, positive steps that would create a much more productive, constructive, happy, peaceful world. So I think what we have to do at this point in time is to look at ourselves and how we got here and look at the competing worldviews that lead to the terrorism, the conflicts, and the fights at every level, rather than cooperation to develop our own species and our own planet. So that's what I try to focus on at this point in terms of looking at what we know about the consciousness aspect of the universe that we're part of, and that gets us into the reincarnation area. But if we speak at the moment about consciousness, consciousness is a universal aspect of the universe. I don't think that our physicists and other scientists have figured out how many dimensions, how many levels, how many realms we may have, and we get confused as we deal with a different material, whether it's channel material, whether it's some sort of other transmission to the human species. You know, there are different models out there, but I think the thing that is common is that we are receiving information and technologies from more advanced beings, and there's also conflict out in some of those realms, and that is another problem for us. So how do we sit down and reach some consensus among humans, because we don't have any consensus at this particular point?
Well, I think historically, going way back, like you did in God's Genes and Consciousness, where you indicated that there were different advanced beings kind of in different parts of the world that were leading people, and then sometimes they would be in conflict with one another. That just goes directly into the religious wars that are still fought on the planet today. It's almost like we grew up, we as children, when the human race was just forming, we were involved in these conflicts that that were actually wars between the higher beings and or the more advanced beings, which weren't necessarily more ethical or more, you know, they were very warlike and they were very did not have great qualities that then the humans emulated. So I think that's the remnants of that may be the religious wars of today.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because I think what happened is, as these experiences were taking place by different groups of humans with some of these different AVs, and what we did was, go through a process that some people refer to as deification.
Right.
Groups of humans who had experiences with some of these advanced beings, you know, after they were not physically in our world or in our communities as they were perhaps many thousands of years ago. But mm-hmm. what happened is that humans then began to convert in their terminology and their thinking, in the way they describe these experiences, and they sort of set up this idea. In other words, humans invented God in their mm-hmm. terms and in their rituals and in their emotions towards these sort of illusions at that point. And that has really been the basis of our religions as they have developed over the last 2,000 or 3,000 years. And those belief systems, how fanciful they were from a natural perspective, they have captured the emotions, that is the psychic energy of the followers. And these emotions are really part of our neural networks at this point in time. They are easily triggered by key words in different religions, and it's like the amygdala, you know, gives us either flight or fight option. And what we've done is that the people who have had this indoctrination of these concepts of religions, if there's any negative critique or any challenge or any really just discussion of the possibility that their beliefs are based on not reality but on their own fanciful projections, the reaction is one of fight, not of flight, not of moving back and sitting down at their kitchen table and saying, well, let me think about it. Let me, somebody just said this is an issue or this is a belief that maybe it's not the truth, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. People don't do that. It's just that the fight response comes out, whether it's political, social, economic, and military, physical. And one of the things that I'm trying to do in a lot of my talks and writing is to urge us as a human community, that singular kind of community, to look at each of our group's assumptions and their views of history, and to test them with each other and with the natural universe around us. And until we're able to do that, we're not going to be able to have any kind of peaceful conferences among ourselves to settle these divisions. We see this in the Middle East right now at a very physical, deathly, violent level, and you see it in our own country at the political level and at mm-hmm. the social level. I mean, we are having a war of worldviews. And we don't want to look at those worldviews as objective. I mean, we can never be totally objective, but attempting to be objective observers of ourselves and others, we're not doing that. We are unwilling to question the assumptions that are the foundations of, you know, how we think about reality, how we live every day.
Some of the authors that I've interviewed, and I wanted to mention that I did interview the editor of 2012, Create Your Own Shift, and that's a fabulous book. You had a chapter in that, if I recall. Is that right?
Well, just some knowledge.
Okay. In any case, the authors I've been interviewing seem to think that there, our institutions are at a breaking level now. Medicine, law, politics, business, you know, whatever institution you want to look at is at a breaking point because the old paradigms are not working and rapidly showing themselves to be untenable. I mean, medicine is out of control cost-wise, and law is just not having to do much with justice anymore. Business is not based on principles that are viable, and we know what's been happening with government. They can't even pass a budget. So, so basically, what's your take on the state we're in right now, and where do you think it's leading?
Well, I don't know. That's the problem, because we have had no breakthrough in terms of what I would call self-examination. And I don't mean, you know, individual self-examination, but group self-examination. We don't want to look at our own assumptions, and looking at the implications of these assumptions, consider, you know, doing things differently ourselves. And we certainly, until we are able to do that, regardless of whatever group or religion or our political party, you know, we've encapsulated ourselves in our own unilateral beliefs. Mm-hmm. I don't know any better way to explain it, because until we are willing to say none of us have the whole picture, and if we make our decisions on the basis of these, the kind of assumptions that we were talking about earlier about how we have had experiences with other beings, that we have perhaps lost some of our own sense of autonomy. We look to these prophets of each of the groups. I use prophet there not just for religions, but, you know, it's political and social groups as well. And we get swayed by them. And we're getting ourselves and the messes that we had, like in our last 2 or 3 weeks in Washington, and it's going to continue until we, you know, question ourselves. At the same time, we're questioning the motives of others.
Well, there is some information coming in that we may be being lifted out of this, I guess, lower vibration, where we are not connected to source. In terms of we're more free will agents. We don't have a common connection, a common, you know, common goals. And mm-hmm. as we come out of this, I think we're going to see more people, you know, meditating, more people with guidance from a higher level, that and that guidance will be such that it will be less splitting people into different groups that are opposing each other. There'll be more unity and more cooperation as more people go within and bring up solutions to these problems that we have from within, and start working together rather than fighting with one another. I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Yeah, I'm like a lot of us, we're accessing information from different sources and from different dimensions, and it seems to me the way I have sort of assessed this effort of people, I don't know whether we should say people or humans or beings. I think the word beings would be better.
Beings is probably better.
The beings who are communicating with humans are different messages from different sources. But in common, I think there is this sense of the advice that we as individuals and we as groups need to begin to reach out to other groups who are maybe on a similar track to ours, or potentially on the same track with some of our efforts. And so it's a matter of reaching out and working with these other groups who may not have the same spiritual or cosmological perspective, but at least they have realized that we have to work at the grassroots level to, carry out actual projects that help in the health field and the peacemaking and the food industry and businesses. And I think that from my point of view, that requires the willingness of humans to respond to this kind of suggestions, I guess I would say, or advice. That we're not, in other words, we're not going to just automatically change our behaviors, but we have to think through what we're doing now and make conscious decisions. And I think it requires actually getting back out into the community with nonprofits or other organizations who are looking in specific ways. And I'm thinking about, the problems of, sexual trafficking, problem of weapons being dispersed all over the planet, piece of having people together in conferences where they're looking and exchanging their views. So it seems to me that level of sort of grassroots activity is the most effective strategy we can have, because I think that if we sort of stay within ourselves, I don't think that all of those other thousands and millions and billions of people will take the initiative on their own. I don't think there's that much enlightenment at this stage among, the billions that we have now.
Well, I think we can... we're in the process of developing spiritual technologies that maybe have not been used on a grand scale before. And one example would be the World Peace Days, where using the internet and other and Facebook and other things that link the world, we ask conscious people to put out certain intents and prayers and other projections for changing the world. And, you know, as you know, the template of everything that is built first in the mind and in thought and then settles into the physical. So, you know, we can utilize the technologies we have, like the internet and other ways to link people, and with a very focused intent, we can address these various problems by visualizing a world that is free of them. And I think that, you know, that would be an example of something we could do with just a handful of people, but, you know, maybe a couple of thousand people around the world could project, but very intently project. And then that projection would probably start to rattle the foundation of those organizations that, you know, are involved in sexual trafficking and other things that don't need to be on the planet anymore.
Well, I agree with that in the sense that we have to have these images and new concepts and so on in our own mental space. And I think one of the things that we are learning in the scientific realm is that consciousness is entangled. I mean, we're not separated from all of the other 7 billion people on the planet.
Right.
We are all entangled in some way or the other. And so as we do something physically, like putting it on the internet or this kind of program that you and I are taking part in at this moment, mm-hmm. In other words, all the media for communication to other beings, they're not all electronic and digital and so on. They are also at the subconscious level. And that level of entanglement is certainly going to be very, very important. And I'm just... A little bit hesitant to think that you know, a few thousand people can change the whole thing. It seems to me that it takes sort of a staging, and I think maybe you're getting at this with the notion of using the internet and all of the social media that we now have. In other words, three people start out with their emanations of thought and energy, and that maybe faces or has an impact on a dozen people, and that dozen, and it sort of moves mm-hmm. on through like the waves in the ocean when we drop a rock in. And it seems to me, though, if our universe is what it seems to be, which seems to be a multidimensional, multi-realm universe, and if it is a self-driven universe, that is, that we have, we need all of us, individuals, all of us as a species and so on, if we have these impulses and shifts in our own thinking and our own being, it will then pulsate in all directions. But there is also the problem that there are impulses coming from other directions, which are counter to some of our own. And so I'm not sure that there's just one central core of emanations that are covering everything else without any opposition. And so I think our problem is how do we figure out a way to have both sides of an issue or multiple sides of a particular issue also working at it from their angle. And maybe we're able to do that with our communications now. Certainly, I believe that. I wouldn't write or speak or try to communicate in any form that's available to me. I certainly believe that's the process. They are, if we want to go to information theory, for example, they are the info bits that are the fundamental level of the quantum particles and the quantum energies that we are talking about in science. And I do think there's something useful there with that model, because it does show us as a universal whole, with intentions being expressed by conscious souls and beings wherever they are in the universe. And so we're, just as we are embedded in a larger human society, we are in a bigger non-human being society. And I guess I'm trying to make the point that it's much more complex than I think any of us have any grasp on at this particular time. But that doesn't stop us from taking the initiatives that, you know, we're talking about from different groups.
Well, I suspect that there's spiritual technologies that are coming in now, and I know they're coming in now, and I think they're going to continue to come in, that will make this job of raising the vibration, the frequency on the planet, both individually and collectively, a lot easier than we might imagine. I think we're going to get help from higher dimensions to solve the problems we currently have, is what I'm saying. I think that there may be very elegant spiritual technology things that are given to us, probably in group meditations and through inspiration and even revelation in some of the authors that will write books on how to do things. And I think they're already being written. I'm certainly interviewing them, so I think they are being written. But it may be a lot easier than what we had thought, because the vibratory nature of the planet will be at increasingly higher vibration. So manifestation and projection and the help from the higher realms are at a much greater level, and so we can create much faster. We can break down systems that aren't working much faster collectively and create new ones. I mean, that's what I'm seeing in the future, along with a great deal of help from advanced beings, but not the advanced beings that you talked about in God's Genes and Consciousness, but even more advanced beings who really do have our best interests at heart.
Oh, no, I agree with that, and I'm not. I don't think we have a great difference in our perspective here, because I have involved in various groups who are receiving information from various levels, and it seems to me that a lot of that material is very useful and seems to be. Logical that if we do these kinds of things in our lives and if we establish our intentions this way and we focus on the more positive, constructive things, I think that I'm certainly in agreement with your comment about us having these levels of assistance now. And I think that people who, humans like ourselves, who are open to these assistance programs, if you want to use that sort of foreign policy concept, but we are getting assistance and we are getting some guidance. I guess where I'm a little bit different in the way I interpret this material is that we also have to make sure that how we live our lives in the day-to-day to make sure that they are consistent with the values and the images and the concepts that we are meditating about and projecting out into the ethosphere or whatever word we want to use for the realm of consciousness. But I think that because we are both physical, energetic, consciousness, spirit, you know, we don't quite know, at least I have no sense that we, any of us as humans, have a real understanding of all of those levels. And what level is helping the other level, and some of the material that I've been exposed to, you know, describe different levels with different degrees of clarity, of constructive intentions. So I'm not sure. I think we have to look at all of these levels and not discard the possibility that there are also these other forces who are countering what we're doing.
Well, there are other forces, but my understanding from information we're getting is that because of the increased higher vibrations coming in from the galactic center, actually through the sun, we are in the process of being in a unique situation, one that we have not been in before. I mean, this is truly a unique situation of having the opposing forces being disintegrated by this energy, whereas the higher vibratory intentions and peace and health and a world government that actually works and isn't trying to take advantage of everybody, these things will manifest much easier. So I actually believe that the opposing forces may be losing strength with this incoming energy. And then if we're able to use the spiritual technologies coming in to, you know, actually replace the dying systems with something that is based on good principles and cooperation and higher spiritual principles, that it may not be difficult to do that at all. It may actually be a much easier than history would indicate. So that's why I'm very hopeful that we're really going to be able to do this without a lot of opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, I guess it goes back to the basic assumptions that one individual or one group has. I think that my perspective, one that I'm sure frames my ideas and work that I've put out, but that is the basic assumption that the universe is an evolving organism, It is a self-evolving organism, that is, from the very source, whatever it is, that brought this universe that we're in into being. From that level down to all of the other levels of consciousness, and that if it is a self-evolving, self-learning, self-developing organism, then that leads to the outcome that all aspects of any species or any planet or any part of the galaxy or the universe is that the levels of consciousness have to, with help from above or from within, as we've been describing it, with that, there is then the fundamental assumption that all species, all parts of species, also have to themselves learn. And so we know that in terms of our education systems on the planet Earth, if we indoctrinate or if we propagandize, it doesn't matter how brutal that might be or how subtle it might be, if the object of that effort to educate and develop, if the object doesn't somehow get it itself, then it will not be as effective as if it would have been had that other party, that other group of students, etc. It'll just pop up again in behaviors. And I think that's where we are on this planet today. We've had these periods where we've tried to have a renaissance of one sort or the other, and then because it was not embraced and accepted by other groups, then it gets attacked and undermined. And I think our renaissance of 500 years ago has been totally undermined by supernatural religions and the autocratic oligarchic institutions that have sprung up over the last five centuries. Out of that seedbed of supernatural religions, the three supernatural ones on the planet and all of their splinters in one direction or the other. So that's undermined our Renaissance, and we are now in the lower part of that curve, and hopefully we are moving up then to another Renaissance with these multidimensional activities going on. And I think they are certainly in my meeting and discussion of these ideas with many different people. We have a lot of help, a lot of support that's trying to communicate with us as humans. And part of the problem, of course, is are humans listening? And I hope that people listening to you and this program are getting that message. But I'm not yet quite clear, certain that everybody is getting the message.
Well, they may not be getting the message through the show or other shows. There's many other shows like mine and many other websites on the internet, but certainly they're seeing in their own lives that things are getting more chaotic and there's a lot more anxiety and a lot more strange things happening in the world and probably in their own lives. So hopefully that will kind of push them toward the time and place where they start to look inward, because that, as you know, is the key. Once you start to look inward, then that is where you get the guidance and you get the lines of communication that are needed to bring forth the solutions. I mean, you start with your own life. If you have problems in your life and you go within and you find that you get information and energy to solve those problems, then, you know, you might be guided to go with larger groups of people, similar-minded, that can go inward as a group and come forth with solutions to more significant problems involving larger groups of people. And from what I see, that's what's happening. And as those larger groups get connected, we can get more and more information from higher realms about the really remarkable shift we're in the middle of, I think that people will find the ascension process a lot of fun and a lot less scary than, you know, maybe some of the more negative sources of information have indicated that it will be. And they can start enjoying the process. But I think the world's going to shift into something quite remarkable. And I think it's going to do it very quickly. I don't think it's going to take years and years.
I think it's certain, the potential is certainly there. And I think what you just described is really the way the process, it seems to me, works, can work, and will work with people making those choices to work together into smaller groups and then larger groups, and then meet up with other groups who may have slightly different views of the details.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's so important, because if we look at the model of our religions, they have gone in the opposite direction. They have gone to splintering into many, many different groups.
Mm-hmm.
And without a sense of common purpose and common intentions. And so it seems to me, at this level of the, what I would call the conscious, full conscious, well, mm-hmm. I can't say full conscious because we don't know how many higher levels there are. But let's say this certainly fuller awareness level of consciousness that I think a lot of people on the planet are getting involved in and taking part in a very personal, deliberate fashion. They're finding it for themselves. They are realizing that they need to be part of the bigger picture. And so when that continues, sort of a curve here that you start off down at one level, and each increment gets geometrically greater in terms of numbers,
right,
and in terms of power and influence. So that's the process to be following, it seems to me.
And if the information we're getting from the higher levels is correct, this process is well on its way, and it's going to be just a couple more years. It's not going to be, you know, like hundreds of years in the future. It's a great cause for celebration, and I'm really, you know, looking forward to it. I think it'll be, it's well overdue, and I think we need to create the world we want to live in. We are at the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information, Paul?
Sure. My own website is www.vonward, that's V like in Victor, onward.com. And then our reincarnation experiment is www.reincarnationexperiment.org.
I really want to recommend to the audience that they read Paul's two latest books, We've Never Been Alone, A History of Extraterrestrial Intervention, and also the great book, The Soul Genome, Science and Reincarnation, and check out the Reincarnation website for what Paul's doing in the Reincarnation Project. That's a really worthwhile project. Thanks, Paul, so much for joining me at Last Minute. I appreciate talking to you again. It's been fun.
It's been my pleasure and my honor, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And next week we will be interviewing Thomas Carey, who wrote the book Inside the Real Area 51, The Secret History of Wright-Patterson. When I was a head of plastic surgery at Wright-Patterson, I kept having different high-level officers tell me they had seen live aliens. And join me next week for a discussion of why that probably was true. On the 2nd of November, James Stein will be joining us on The Paranormal Equation, A New Scientific Perspective on Remote Viewing, Clairvoyance, and Other Inexplicable Phenomena. And then on the 9th, Robbie Holtz, Secrets of Aboriginal Healing, A Physicist's Journey with a Remote Australian Tribe. And then my friend Steve Halprin will be joining us with Deep Theta 2, Brainwave Entrainment, Music for Meditation and Healing. Join us in, and Steve will tell you how he creates this music that will help you go within, which is what we've been talking about today. Thanks a lot for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Join us next week.